anyway, so this is what I believe the Lord's given to me to give to you, or also given to me to give to me. And I want to ask a rhetorical question, which means don't give me your answer. You can keep that in your own mind. But what could hinder our worship in 2024? What could hinder your worship in 2024? Now, if I was to give a sort of a, let's say, a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being I am unstable and there is every chance that if something goes wrong tomorrow morning, that I'm going to struggle to say, God, thank you for Monday. Okay, that's number one. Or 10 being, doesn't matter what the world throws at me, what the enemy tries to throw at me, I know that I am his, I am safe, I am secure, and I am not going to be budged because God is in control. I hear an amen. Amen. So the scale is sort of 1 to 10. And just have a think of where you might place yourself on that. We all want to be sort of at least a 9, don't we? We want to be a 9, 9.5. You know, I rated myself at 9.8, but that was before 6 o'clock. And that's the problem, you see, because in actual fact, experience has shown me that scale tends to be quite movable. So some days I feel like I could be getting close to 10 and God's in control and there's nothing going to shake me. And then, well, Monday comes around usually, and I'm sliding down the scale and I get to the point where I'm like, God, have you gone on holiday? What is happening here? It feels like I'm asking or I'm talking to you and I don't seem to be getting a response. You know, sort of the paddy that happens for the young kids, and you start stamping your feet and feeling like you're not getting your own way. That's still me in my nearly 40s, isn't it? Nobody else. Okay, never mind. But I've learned over the years that this scale does appear to be movable. One day we're feeling robust and the next, truthfully, we are far from it. So I want to ask, what do we do different? If anything, because you might already have this in control, okay? But what are we going to do different in 2024 to build our resilience, which in turn, I believe, will remove anything that hinders our worship to God? And resilience is a really key word. And of course, it's a buzzword at the moment, isn't it? Because it's January. To build that resilience, to stand the test, to stand firm, to eat healthy until you see a kebab. I don't think that's what is in the asterisk at the bottom, but in my mind, that's what it says. To exercise when convenient. These are the sort of things that I read at the end. They're not there, but nevertheless, it's what I'm reading. But rather, we're trying to build resilience that even if there is a bad moment, that we are resilient to it, that we're able to stand up to it because of our relationship with God. Now, I also want to just put into the mix here, because a lot of you have been saved a long time. Some might have been saved only a short time, but a lot of you have been saved for a long time. And you're thinking to yourself, Matt, you're going to bring to us what I expect you to bring to us in a new year. What should we do more? We should pray more. Amen? Amen. We should read the word more. Amen? Amen. We should worship more. Amen? Amen? Yeah, but it's not your first rodeo, is it? So I know that you know that, because I know that as well. That doesn't mean I always do it. And it also means that sometimes I do it, but it doesn't really do much to me. And you go, how dare he say such a thing? But is that not the case? That it depends what the attitude here and here is to actually what matters and how the word eats into our life, how the word starts to change us. You see, because I can read the word of God and I can read the word of God. You understand? I can read it and just go, you know, Ephesians chapter 5, I've read it, I've ticked it off. Or I can read it and I can ask the Lord to open up my heart and open my mind. And Lord, change me, show me what you want me to see, grow me on, Lord, with a heart that says I want to learn, I want to soak it up, I want to change. So I know it's not your first rodeo, and I don't want you to switch off either just because I've said you need to pray more, you need to read the word more, and you need to worship more. Because I know they're a given, but I'm not going to stop there, okay? So what do we do? These key points are obviously key as they are. Yet what do we do in order to make sure that when we do turn to the Word, when we do turn to prayer, when we do turn to worship, that it's effective for us? I want to be effective this year. Do you? Okay, clearly not. Clearly this was for another church. Huh. Lord, that you might open my eyes to see which church this was for. Do we want to be effective for the Lord this year?
Yes.
Of course we do. Of course we want to be effective. The last thing you wanted to see on your school report was he could try or she could try harder. I'll be honest, that was my entire school life. Matthew could try harder. That and Matthew's a little bit cheeky. That is the truth. That is the truth. I don't need to share with you that that once brought my mother to tears. But such is life. I grew up. Right. So, let's get back to what this where we're going to go this morning. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 through 32. And this is going to be, I think, a real hinge point for us today to say, Lord, okay, I'm listening. And when I read that, it sort of offends me a little bit. So you need to open up my heart and my mind. All right? So before I get there, sometimes we have to go deeper than just thinking, I'm going to read the word. Or deeper than thinking, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I need your help as I step into tomorrow. Amen. Sometimes we have to go a little bit deeper. Sometimes when we switch on the radio and you click on your latest album and it's maybe, it could be anything, but Elevation Worship springs to mind for me. And maybe Do It Again's on there and you're like, oh, it's really good. And sometimes you sing it and sometimes you really sing it and sometimes you can't sing it because you're too emotional to sing it. Anybody else? Yeah, not necessarily that song, but your song of choice that's a worship song. So what do I do to go deeper? And this is the challenge. Because I think that if we want to be effective, if we want to build resilience, if we want to stand up against the storm, then there is something that we actually have to do. Now, I don't know about you, but there are things in my life at times that are so subtle, they're there, but nobody else knows that they're there. They're hindrances, they're issues perhaps that have gone in the past, there may be disagreements, arguments, heated discussions that have occurred, and they could be, church, they could be years ago. And they're in there because I've never dealt with them. They're in there, nobody else needs to know about them, but every now and again, just occasionally, if somebody says something that triggers that memory, it literally tips me over the edge. And it doesn't mean it's them that's done anything wrong. It just is what's happening inside here and here. And it just recalls the situation. So it gets to a point where I think, what on earth? How dare they speak to me like that? How dare they say that to me? When in actual fact, they've said and done nothing wrong at all. It wasn't meant in the way that I've received it, but there's harbored hurt and pain and bitterness and anger and rage that I've never actually dealt with. Now, I know I'm not talking to myself because I know that you're made of the same stuff as I am. And listen, I want to be resilient heading into 2024. I want to be effective for God. And I know the things that I should be doing. I know the things that are going to make that happen when you look at it on paper. But I also know what my heart and my head say at times. And I know that there are things that need to be rooted out and dealt with so that I can be all that God intends me to be, and church, that you can be all that God intends you to be. Now, honestly, this is an absolute truth, I won't share the story because it's completely and utterly irrelevant, and it really is. But I've harbored something for about 18 years. How ridiculous! And the person that did and said what they said to me and did what they did to me 18 years ago, It wasn't even really a thing. But in my mind, I'd made it something massive. And for 18 years, it got to a particular time of year, and I'm just useless. Like, I just can't cope. And it was just a recurring cycle, the year after year after year, for 18 years. And it was only this year I worked out what it was. And I dealt with it. And I wouldn't even be able to talk to you about it now if I hadn't have dealt with it, because I'd have just gone into bits, quite literally. And it's quite, honestly, it's really nothing. But in my mind, I'd harboured it. And what I've noticed about that is actually, during the period of time that it was, that it restricted me from being effective for God. This is why I'm sharing it with you this morning. Because it restricted me from going to the Word, effectively reading it and learning from it and studying from it, because I was just annoyed. I was just a little bit anxious and upset and a bit frustrated from something that happened 18 years ago. Now, the key to dealing with those things, and you might, it might be a heated discussion, it could be nothing, is what I'm saying, that happened a long time ago, but in here it's still there. And it just becomes a problem. And you know the whole, I've swept it under the carpet, and at some point you'll trip up over it. For me, it was December. Every single year, it just got to that same point. And as I say, I could read the Word, I could pray, I could worship, I could do all the things that I was supposed to be doing. But I knew full well that I wasn't effective, because I was harbouring the hurt and the anguish and never actually dealt with it. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29 through 32 says. He says, "Do not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may be benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you." Now, the first thing to note about this is that Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to the church. And you go, well, hang on a minute. This is the church. We are saved, amen. We are redeemed, amen. We are set free by the blood of Christ. And let me just read it for you again. Get rid of bitterness, anger, and rage, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Paul is talking to the church. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. He's talking to those people that would consider themselves children of the living God. And he's saying you need to get rid of all of this. And those that perhaps aren't the Lord's go, well, I thought you dealt with that. And isn't that the reality, church? That we are all a work in progress. That we're not here because we're perfect. We're here because we know we're not. Amen? We are here because we know we need a saviour. We're here because we know that life throws all sorts at us. And the only way for us to know that we can deal with that is that we have God by our side. Amen? That we're able to deal with tomorrow, because I know that my God's already there. So I'm going to step into Monday, this brand new week of a new month, of a whole new year, and I'm going to go, I'm probably not going to be able to cope here, God, without you. Amen? I'm probably not going to be able to cope. I am going to need you. I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to go before me. I'm going to need your strength, Lord. And do you know what? By 9 a.m., when I've completely forgotten everything that Matt said today, Lord, I'm going to need you to remind me. Church, this is the reality of who we are. I don't ever want to stand up here, or anybody who stands up here from the pulpit at Hope Church, and say, do you know what? You should be doing this, this, and this. It should be easy. It's nonsense. In reality, we are all living life. And we know that life is difficult and it can throw something at us that we never saw coming. And we might just have those things in our life that happened a long time ago that we've never dealt with. And they just sit there underneath simmering until somebody says something and they're going to get it. Church, what we have to do is make sure that we're seeing what the Word of God says and actually we are outing the issues that are within. You know, the Lord says and the Word says, pray without ceasing. And let's ask the question, well, what is prayer? Prayer is a conversation with God. It is a conversation with a holy, righteous and perfect God. And I have Jesus interceding for me. Do you know why? Because of the cross. Because I'm good? No, because he is. Amen? So I'm able to come into the Holy of Holies and say, God, I'm going to need your help. I'm going to need you to just open up the word. Lord, I'm going to need you to encourage me to pray. I'm going to need you to help me worship this morning. We have that wonderful ability to be able to bring all of our prayers and petitions to God. And that's prayer. And when we have conversations with our loved ones, those that care about us, those that know us, those that are interested in our life, what do we want to do with them? Well, we want to share, don't we? Very simple thing. A problem shared is a problem halved, is it not? And that happens when you share it with somebody that loves you. So as we share with God, what do we think he's going to do? Because if I'm sharing with you and that can halve the problem, how much bigger is God? You know, when he says pray without ceasing, when the word tells us to do that, it's telling us to be in a conversation with God, to root it out, to share with the Lord. And sometimes all it needs is to speak it. Sometimes all it needs is to say, do you know what? All those years ago, this happened, and my word, it annoyed me. And I never said anything because I felt like it was my fault. But now I've thought about it, it's taken me a while, it actually wasn't my fault. It was just something that happened, and it was just a scenario. And in reality, that person's probably moved on and never thought about it again. But it's been an issue for me. But Lord, now I'm speaking it, now I'm sharing it, I'm dealing with it. And I'm allowing you, Lord, to deal with it. You see, we have to speak these things. We have to share these things. If we trust God with the big stuff, can we not trust him with the small stuff too? Do we think he's not in control of the little things that we've harbored for years? Of course he is. Of course he's in control. Of course he cares. So we have to share it with him. We have to air it. And that is mainly for our own heart and mind to say, God, I've now told you. I've harbored it for years. And now I've shared it. And listen, I'm not naive to think that there aren't huge problems, things that you've had in the past that are still there, that still haunt you in essence. Church, I'm encouraging you to bring it to the Lord. And it might take years, but don't hold on to it. Share it. Don't hold on to it, but bring it to the Lord. And I don't know whether this is for anybody this morning or whether this is just for me, but if it's for you, hear what I'm saying. Share it with the Lord. Don't hold it. Give it to him and allow him to deal with it. And then the things that happen, as Paul is saying here, it goes on for us to understand. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And then he says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You notice how that line is not before the first one. And that's what I mean about being effective. And that's what I mean about being resilient. Because we've got to have done the first bit for the second bit to work. Yeah? We've got to have done the first bit and brought it to the Lord and said, Lord, I can't deal with this. I'm going to need you to help me. And I've held on to it for a while, but it's now time to deal with it. Unless we do that, then the effectiveness of what we can do, well, it just peters off. He says here, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And the key to that verse, along with all of those things that we're able to do, the key is as Christ. The key is as Christ. That we deal with whatever is really hindering us, and we love then as Christ, We forgive as Christ. Be compassionate as Christ. And listen, we can do all of these things, how? Philippians 4:13. We can do all of these things in Christ. We can be as Christ if we realize that we can do all of these things in Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, just simply, if we were to just go, right, give me that in a nutshell, we'd say, well, I know what I need to do good. I know what I need to do to be effective. I know what I need to do to make the change. And I would also say to you know what to do to eat healthy. Don't you? Yes, you do. And you also know how to exercise, don't you? And we all know that that's really good for us, don't we? And do we all do it? No. Why is that? Why is that? And is it not the same with our spiritual walk? I know what I need to do. I know how to make the change. I know where to go. And now I have the tools in order to do what I need to do. So what am I going to do? Sit with it for another 6 months. No, you're not. We're going to deal with it. We're going to bring it to the Lord. We're going to say, God, I know now, because I've seen in your word, I always knew, but now I've really seen that I know what I need to do to make the change. Lord, I know what I need to do to eat healthy. I know what I need to do to exercise. I know what I need to do. Lord, help me to do it. Amen. Help me to do it. Let's not put off the change. And you know what they're all saying at the minute? If you're scrolling your Instagram or your Facebook or whatever it might be, that you need to be disciplined, that you need to be resilient, and that you need to persist with the change. And they're all buzzwords for January. But listen, if we want to be effective for God, they need to be what we have in here and here for 2024. That God, I want to be disciplined to go to your word. I want to be disciplined to bring it to you in prayer. I want to be disciplined in my worship. Lord, I want to make and build up resilience, and I want to be persistent, Lord, and I want to make sure that I persevere through the struggle, the hurt and the pain, because it's going to come, because that's the reality of life. And Lord, I want to stand for you, amen? To want to deal with the real issue, to push through the pain and to build resilience. So the question is, am I ready to put in the work? Are we ready this morning to put in the work, to get past what's been holding you and I back? And church, if I've learned anything over the years, it's that God is able. Amen? He is able. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your word, Father, for its encouragement and the words that you inspired Paul to write. That, Father, that you would just help us today to see that you want the best for us. Father, that you've laid that out. And I just ask, Lord God, that if there's anybody in here that's dealing with or harbouring hurt and anger and pain, that, Lord, that they would spend time with you and they would root out that issue. Father, that they would share it, they would speak it, so that, Lord, it can be dealt with. Father, we want to be effective for you in 2024. We want to be as effective as we can be, and Father, to fulfill our purpose that you've got laid out for us. And we just ask, Lord God, that you would just work through us, that you'd speak to us, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds, that we'd be ready, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would convict us and move us into the direction that you want us to go. So, Father, bless us in this year ahead, we pray. In this week ahead, as we start back with all the activities and school and jobs, Father, that you'd just be with us. You'd strengthen us. Father, you'd be right by our side. And we know, Lord, that peace that only you can bring. Bless us, Father, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.